Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange. With Stank Dog and Wintermute.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips, sits. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
All right, Fahogwa gods, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio Episode 3. I am Stank Dog, and I am joined, as always,
by Wintermute,
the one and only. And we are going to open up the show today. I'm going to open up today with an apology to our listeners. It seems that I'm kind of dumb, and I converted the previous episodes of the show with the incorrect settings when I extracted them to MP3. So I sent out low bitrate versions that were downloadable of previous shows that were a little fuzzy sounding, and some people did catch that and mention it to me, and I figured out why and made the correction. So what I have done is uploaded new versions of the file, of the files, I should say, episode 1, 2, and the pilot. Also, I made the same mistake with RFA 72. So all three of those, I have now uploaded newer versions of them. The old ones were... the naming convention had underscore L-O at the end of them. BinRev1 underscore L-O for the low bitrate version. Well, there's no point in having the L-O on there anyway, so what I did is I just started it all over again. Now it's BinRev1, BinRev2, etc., etc. We'll just start counting upwards. So delete your old versions, grab the new ones. There's no difference except that they're clearer, and we'll start with this naming convention, and... again, RFA had the same problem. You can download that also from my site, the new version, or go on over to oldschoolfreak.com and get the new version from them and start your archives over. Don't, if you're making archives or saving them, don't have that old ugly bitrate. That'll come back to haunt me, or it might not be able to hear it in the future. Who knows? It might not be. They might have some kind of degrading quality.
It's a collectible.
Yeah. Well, don't tell them that. Now they're never going to delete them. They're going to keep them.
The CDs and test them out at school.
They're gonna use them to humiliate me in my old age. Oh, wait a minute. I'm already old. What am I thinking? So, anyway, again, I apologize. That was completely my fault. Now, the stream that we sent out was good, high quality. There was no problems with the stream. I only did this in the downloadable version, so that is a good thing. The stream should be good, solid quality, so that's not a concern. Now, we also... as a result of episode 2 and episode 1, I hope, we got a lot more feedback this episode, which is good.
Yay! I got mail!
We had several people from the last episode. If you mentioned one of our bigger topics, and the topic we started with was the word hacker and what it means and what it should mean and yada, yada, yada. Well, it would seem that a lot of people agreed that, yes, the word hacker should be defended, and that they agreed that we shouldn't roll over so easily. However, I think we've beaten that horse to death, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, I am not going to spend any more time on that topic today. I'm going to pause and give people a chance to applaud and say thank God. So we're going to move on to some new topics. And actually, let's go through a few emails that we got. There are some things I wanted to bring up in addition to that topic. One email I got was from Fanatic, and he mentions that he thinks it would be a good idea to have a third person on the show. I absolutely agree. I love having another person on the show. That's what we do with RFA. However, we can't exactly do that. Why can't we do that again, Mute?
I think your phone can't handle that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was setting you up to call me a cheap ass, but yeah, I don't have, you know, if you've been listening to RFA for a while, you'll know my hatred for the phone company, and I refuse to give them any more money than I absolutely have to. So I try to avoid adding services. I have a watered-down phone with no extra features. I use my cell phone for everything I can help. And frankly, I'd get rid of the home phone if it weren't for the DSL, but that's another story altogether. So, because I'm a cheap ass, I basically can't do... we'd like to also do some phone calls on occasion, like we do off RFA, but see, that's what RFA is good. You know, Duel especially is much more of a freak than I am. Well, I'm not a freak at all, to be frank, to be honest. What I know about freaking, I learned from Duel and Mute, so... But we would still like to do an occasional phone call, maybe have a third guest on, special guest rotating, stuff like that. So, man, I might have to just break down and feed these bastards more of my hard-earned money. So, yeah, hopefully in the future we can make that change. I do want it. I do like it. I do agree with you. I appreciate the suggestion. And, yeah, I mean, you know, the more voices, the more opinions and views we get, the better. Another suggestion that he also made was, and several people made this, a lot of people asked, have requested this in the forums and via email and et cetera, and that is subscriptions to Binary Revolution magazine. It's very flattering. I'm very happy that people like the magazine and want subscriptions already. We've released, you know, one issue, the second one very soon, knock on wood, is that coming through the microphone? But we are still very small time, you know. We are not a big magazine producer. We are doing this literally, well, I guess I can't say out of my basement because I don't have a basement. It's Florida. I'd be underwater if I did have a basement. But I am doing this basically out of my room, out of my house, and, you know, I drive down and mail these a couple times a week when people place orders. So doing a subscription is just way, way too much work for us right now. I mean, I would love to. I have a subscription to 2600 myself, and it makes it a whole lot easier. I don't have to write checks or do PayPal or send money, and I know it's a bit of a hassle, but if you guys can just bear with us, you guys and gals, bear with us for a little while, and we do want to get this, you know, going properly and offer subscriptions and all kinds of stuff like that when the time is right. Unfortunately, that is not now. I really, really wish it would, but what we need to do is, I have spoken to some distributors, and the bottom line is we need to be able to prove to a distributor that this magazine will work, that there are people who want it. They need to see that there's an audience for this material. Even 2600, as a lot of people, a lot of listeners know, is difficult to find in some areas. You know, it's only carried by some of the bigger chain bookstores. Sometimes they keep it behind the counter. I mean, there's just all kinds of problems. And there, you know,
the counter.
Huh?
I've never seen it behind the counter.
Yeah, there's been people write letters into 2600 all the time about how they went to and couldn't find it on the shelf, and they went up to the counter or the cash register and asked for it, and they were told, oh yeah, here it is, it's back here. And they, you know, it's like back there with the Playboys and the Wet Hooters and the Biggins.
What the hell?
That's just the kind of thing people, you know, again, I'm not going to go into it, but, you know, that hacker mentality. People think that that's what hacking is, a kind of behind-the-shelf, under-the-cabinet kind of thing, so...
I don't know anymore. All right, continue.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, what are you going to do? So, anyway, long story short, yes, we do want to do that. The other thing right now is I'm still handwriting names and addresses and mailing these out. I don't keep a database. I don't know who ordered. I can't, you know, go back and pull your address from your last order right now. It's a privacy issue, and it's something, you know, I really don't want to do, and I think a lot of people don't want me to do it either. So when the time comes for subscriptions, I know a lot of people don't mind having their name on the subscription list, such as myself. I really don't care. But that's something else that, you know, just not set up to do right now. So I appreciate the offer, and several people, dozens of people have asked that. And we just can't do it yet. When we do, we will definitely post it up on the website. And We will post it in the forums and shout it to the rooftops and all that kind of good stuff. Another email I got, this one's actually kind of scary. We've talked about this on RFA before. This one came from Jaga, and he mentioned to us that the RFA mirror, the mirror of Radio Freak America that he maintains, has been getting some interesting hits from Washington, D.C. So the government, Big Brother, is watching. It's kind of curious, I guess you'd say, that they hit the page. They went to the archive page, but he didn't see that they actually downloaded an episode of the show. Maybe they should. Maybe they'd actually learn. Well, I know they'd probably learn a lot from it. But, yeah, that was kind of... We've seen that before. We've talked about that before. I know you don't really check your logs as much as I do, or as, nobody checks their logs as much as Nick 84 does. But
he has programmed to check his logs for him, display them in color coding,
and draws pie charts and graphs and color codes everything. He's a log dog, man. I'm telling you, he always has been. And you know what? I got to admit, he's gotten me turned on to it too. There's a lot of information in there. You know what? I didn't actually have this in the notes. So I wasn't going to talk about this, but I've noticed a new type of, I don't know if I'd call it spam, but it's definitely subvert advertising. I find hits in my log from some site that I've never heard of. I think one I saw was, well, I don't want to give the name or the URL just in case, but it was basically a web hosting company. And it was in my logs, and I thought to myself, why would there be a link from this unless, you know, maybe the admin from the site surfed from the box or something. But I've noticed it from several different sites. This is a new way that they're doing some subversive advertising. They know that if they put an interesting or unique hit in your logs, that you're going to go check it out. So it's actually probably a really high click rate. When I see an unusual URL in my log, I will click through it or I will cut and paste it, go to that site and see what they're about and see why they're visiting me. I want to know. And a lot of times it turns out to be nothing more than, you know, a hosting company obviously wanting me to switch or wanting me to come over. So,
well, what I see sometimes is, it was weird when I was running Nick's script from the first Binary Revolution magazine. His logging script will check out interesting logs,
mm-hmm.
and display the government and the mill hits.
Right.
I found that one of the mill sites, I forgot where it was coming from. If everyone's ever been to winery.net, you'll know there's two frames, and there's the left frame of the control bar and the right frame, which is the display.
No one's ever been to wintermute.net.
Yeah, I know. They just don't care. Hey, we just surpassed 2,600 hits.
Hey, you got it. It's wintermute.net, ones and threes.
Ones and threes, baby.
Ones and threes.
Fleet speak from Snake's Oracle. Anyways, the right frame, one person came to say only once that week and only loaded my right frame. Because normally when you go to wintermute.net, it automatically puts you in two frames. It only loaded the right frame, which I thought was kind of scary.
It might have been me.
It wasn't. It was coming from a mill.
Oh, it did? Oh, from a mill. Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I don't know anymore.
Was it by chance? Was it the Best Buy article? Was it the frame of...
No, it was the front frame. It was my...
Was the front index?
My quasi-blog.
Right.
I don't know anymore. I mean...
I saw, you know, like Jaga said, that the hits came, but they didn't download the MP3s, the episodes of the show. I noticed that some of the hits that I got were very precise. They didn't even visit my site. You know, I got a couple of hits that went straight to an article.
Mm.
You know, they didn't go to the articles.html page and then click on the article that looked interesting. They knew what they were going for, and... these weren't all at one time. It's been, you know, every other month or two, I guess I'll see a direct hit like that. They're in my top 10. They're somewhere around, say, 8 to 15 every month, .mil and .gov sites. So I get a lot of hits from them, but every once in a while it's just a weird oddball one that'll be a precise blam straight to this. I don't know if they're emailing the direct link to each other. I really don't know. I really don't care. Let them read. They need to learn. They need all the help they can get, frankly. So if they're listening and downloading this, have at it, guys. Help yourselves. But yeah. Oh, and you know what? Since you brought it up too, we're going to have a retractions or an apology section in the magazine from now on for any mistakes. And I think I'm sure I mentioned this before in the forums that we made a mistake on Nick's Pearl script in the first issue. I made a mistake, as usual. I screwed up his formatting. The format that he sent me was nice and indented and color-coded and just beautiful, beautiful code.
Damn it.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Trying to run a magazine here.
Stank bad. Stank bad! So, yeah, I accidentally left Justified the whole thing, and that's absolutely my fault. That's no reflection of his coding. So, you know, you can always go to rootsecure.net, and he has the code available there. Lots of code available there. You know, he mentioned yesterday that rootsecure.net is open source and available for download. The whole site, basically.
It's only the blog. The board. Root board is open source.
Oh, the root board is. Okay, see, you know,
his
he's
site
got...
is open source. It would be attacked. Just yeah. Because... it's his site.
Yeah, probably. Boy, we still got more emails to go. I got an email from Nix, and he mentioned that the stream dropped while he was listening before. He was wondering if it was something on his end or whether it was on what was going on. Well, no, that's probably my fault too. I'm still new to the whole streaming thing, and I don't know. He said it was about 10 minutes in. I don't know how far. I didn't think it was that far in, but right at the very beginning. Yeah, I had kind of a hesitation. I had too many apps open, and it dropped the stream. I basically rewound it just a bit, restarted it, and it went fine after that. No more drops. So, could have been on his end, but very quite probably it was on our end. And, you know, I can't run anything, basically. It's, even though I have a powerful PC, it's not that. It's just that I guess my upload through the DSL just isn't fast enough, so I don't want to stress it at all. I even tried, I have the IRC client. I'd like to stay in the IRC channel and kind of chat during the stream, but I tried it on even other computers inside my internal network, but it's a bandwidth issue, I believe, and I just, unfortunately, I'm just going to have to let the stream go and babysit it, and no IRC for me.
Sure.
So, last episode we had kind of an interesting idea. A question, and I got an email from Not Theory with an answer. And the question, or the wonder, what we were wondering last episode was, we talked about all those AOL discs, and we got onto a little tangent about what would happen if you used an older version of AOL. Well, he tried the AOL idea, and he says he tried it with the absolute oldest version of America Online possible, for the Apple IIgs, 1991. That's a long time. You know, that's 12, 13, 18, 27, is my math off? It's a long time ago. He said basically what happens is it dials up, authenticates, and then has a pop-up box that says your software is no longer supported.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do we really expect? Like I said, this was on an Apple IIgs. Now, I still would like to see, just out of pure curiosity, what happens if you connect with a 3.1 version. You know, I don't know. I bet you it'll do the same thing. I bet you they just made a generic message. If it's not version X.X or higher, it sends that message to everyone. But I still would like to see, because there are still some users that use 3.1 out there. They have a specific reason to have a machine up. You know, a company I used to work for used to do reel-to-reel tape processing, and they had an application that ran under 3.1. Now, at that point in time, I know 95 was out. 98, I'm pretty sure, had come out, and we were still using 3.1 because that's what the application worked under, and it was never updated for newer software. So, surely there's still people out there that use Windows 3.1. I'm sure they're rare, but do you think they do, and do you think they should support that old software?
It's a tough call.
Yeah, I mean, that costs money.
It's a lot of work on their end, but they're going to get a lot more users out of it.
I don't know about a lot.
Well, I mean, there is something. Well, or not a lot, but some.
Yeah. But for the cost of having tech support for those old versions, and believe it or not, funny people don't know or don't remember how to use Windows 3.1 that well.
Yeah.
Everything now is so... wizardized. I just made that word up. There's wizards for everything, and walkthrough and setting up everything is a lot more easy, you have to admit. Under 3.1, you had to do all kinds of INI files and configuration and blah, 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 blah. So it might not be worth it to them, but...
I just,
that is,
sorry, I keep going.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's interesting that he said when it does, what the message that does pop up saying that, it says it also includes a phone number to call, which is just the normal AOL support number, so you can get information on how to upgrade. Now, I don't know what upgrade you're going to do from an Apple II GS. They're basically going to tell you SOL.
Yeah.
So, don't know what to think about that one, but yeah, that was interesting. I didn't know they made it for an Apple II. I didn't realize that AOL was around back then. I was thinking Windows 3.1, possibly an old DOS version. Apple II GS? Woo! That's a long time. I had another email from Beam, who sent me a link. It's kind of a long URL. I'm not going to mention it on the air. But it was a site with a bunch of MP3 remixes. And basically kind of some club remixes and some a cappella versions of different MP3s and tracks. And it just got me thinking about the legality of stuff like that. You know, for example, you can probably talk about this better than I can. You, with the new Apple where you pay 99 cents per song or something like that?
Yeah, new iTunes, they have a built-in iTunes. You can go to a page that loads a browser that we can find MP3s, and I think every MP3 on the site is 99 cents. We can buy albums and stuff, and it's a secure medium, and there's a lot of things attached to it, but yeah. Basically 99 cents a song.
And what do you get for what are you allowed to do with an MP3 for 99 cents?
You get you're allowed to download the MP3. You can listen to it as many times as you want, obviously. You can, now I think it has to be on, you can share it with 3 computers.
Oh, you can. See, I did not know that. So you can,
it's essential. So you have the MP3 itself. It's actually an MP3. It's a different version. It's a proprietary, but it still plays on most MP3 players. You share it with 3 Macs. So you pick 3 computers to use it with, and if it's not registered on that computer, you can't play it. And it can be burned a lot of times. It can be burned, I think, infinite amount of times. I'm not sure on that. And, yeah, that's the basically limitations.
So you can burn it into an audio format and, for example, put it in my car CD player.
Exactly.
And there's no registration in that, obviously.
Yeah, so that can be changed up as much as you want.
Well, okay, more so than the legality of the license, what about, and this is probably a more general question, but let's say I buy, I don't know, who's those little chicks that run around in their underwear on stage, the 2 girls?
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, those annoying little things.
They're
so
hot.
So let's say, well, okay, I'll give them that, but that song just, oh my God, I just want to put a bullet in my head. Let's say I download the latest Tattoo. Do they have tattoos? Is that why they're called Tattoo?
I guess. That's what I thought.
I download the latest Tattoo, and I decide that I want to remix the song myself. I'm a DJ. I want to mix it with Michael Jackson, Who's Bad, and make my own little special customized version of it. Am I allowed to do that?
No, you're not, because...
If I own both Michael Jackson and Tattoo MP3, I don't have the right to use them how I see?
You can't distribute it. It's also still copyright material. I read an article about Fatboy Slim and how he would take samples and remix those.
Mm-hmm.
If you remix it and try to sell it or just try to give it out, it will, because it's a sample of their music, I think maybe you could use a few seconds of the song, would not be, maybe even, you can't even do that. It is their music. It's their copyright. Now, what he would do was he would make the song. He wouldn't care at first. He would just take all his samples and make the song out of it, and then go to the people and try to get it. If you couldn't give it one person, you'd have to cut that part out or not have the song. Usually, he'll play it for them and say, "Now, do you recognize where your sample is?" And they say no, and it's like they don't care because you don't even know it's in there. But if you're using like Vanilla Ice, ripping off Vanilla Ice type stuff, where he took like the whole drum beat out of one song, then yeah, you're gonna get in trouble.
And you say you think that even if you give that away, it's not a matter of selling it; it's just distributing it.
MP3 legal, like I ripped MP3 off your CD.
What if I wanted to take I don't know the Tattoo song that I just paid for and sing it myself over top of their lyrics and give it to someone as a gift.
So you have the whole MP3 and then your vocals?
Yeah, I turn my vocals and I make up, you know, happy birthday, Wintermute, this is a song I wrote for you, tattoo, tattoo, and I send it to you. And did I break the law by doing that? Do I have...
You probably broke the law by giving me... Now, see, that's the gray area that you always run into with MP3s and everything, where if you give it to someone and you're not really mass spreading it, it's like recording stuff onto tapes and giving it to someone, really, it's a very legal gray area.
Yeah, technically, it's probably illegal to do that.
Yep.
And I guess that's kind of what my point is, that seems like, for 99 cents, I get to listen, you know, it goes back to what we mentioned about renting software. You know, you're renting the MP3. You know, I think if I buy the MP3, I should be able to remix it and do what I want with it, and obviously not resell it. That's stupid. But as long as you still give credit to the original artist, I'm trying to be impartial and think of it from the other side. What if I wrote the tattoo song, whatever it is, and people were remixing my song? I honestly would think that it's probably good publicity, or unless they do it better than me, which maybe that's what a lot of them are scared of, that somebody will take their song and make it better and push them to the side. But I still think that you should be able to, you know, as long as you give credit. This is a remix of Tattoo and Michael Jackson, remixed by Stank Dog, and I should be able to put that up. Maybe limit the downloads, I don't know, maybe limit the bit rate so the quality wouldn't be so high. Some type of compromise you think they'd work out.
Maybe.
Anyway, yeah, so Beam sent me that link, and I went to it and downloaded, and that's basically what they were. They were some club mixes of a bunch of different songs, and they were available for download. They did have the name of the artist on them, and this site was overseas, so first of all, American copyright law is going to mean jack squat to them. So, yeah, I thought that was... It just got me thinking, so I thought I'd think on the show out loud, see what other people thought about that. And I guess that's it. We'll close the mailbag. Like I said, we had a lot of great feedback. I'm very happy with that. So, anybody wants to send it in, they know letters@binrev.com, and maybe we'll read yours on the air, maybe we won't. Definitely we'll read them all, so... I guess that's it for the mail this time. Mute, what have you got going on?
Yeah, not so much. I was actually driving around today, you know, just doing errands, and as I was going down the road, I looked to my right as I usually just peer across it. I see a phone box, and there's a technician. It's a really, really big one with a bunch of pairs in it, and it's like just working. I'm like, oh, cool, maybe I should talk to him, but I was really busy, so went out, and then as I was coming back, it was on the way home, I went back by it. The box was open, but there was no technician, which is kind of weird. So I did multiple passes around it. I got a lot of pictures I'm going to put up on the site. So it's pretty fun. It was a really big box. And at the time, he was actually, I guess he was at one of the buildings nearby. He had a toner on one of the lines, and he was going to go find that tone on a different line. So that was pretty cool to see that.
Did you happen to watch any TV this week?
A little, not much.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot, but I watch certain shows I watch regularly, and then other times if I'm bored I'll flip it on, and that's what happened to me this week. I flipped on this new show called Banzai.
Banzai!
I guess it's, I don't know if it was made here. It very much feels like a show made in Japan or something. It was this weird game show, and Japanese television is famous for these weird game shows, but it's got a bunch of, basically, they have little skits and little games of chance or games that are just silly, and you kind of play along at home, and you can bet at home, fake bet, of course.
Bet!
On, like, you know, who's going to win the race, the man or the dog, or who's going to, you know, I can't think of any of them offhand, but the reason I mention it is because the play-at-home part of it I thought was kind of interesting. You go to the site, and I do not have that URL offhand. I know it was off of Fox.com, and that's how I got to it. And it just debuted last week. When you go to the site, it's basically all Flash-enabled. It's all a Flash front-end. And when the first episode was on, the site was just absolutely bombarded. It was completely wiped out. It has a registration page when it first started up, and I every time you tried to register, it would time out and give you errors, so I got tired of trying that. I didn't want to, you know, I thought you would have to register to play, so I made up a little, you know, name and email, blah, blah, blah. As it turns out, there is a link that you can go in and play anonymously, or play the demo or whatever. It's the same thing, play along, it just doesn't keep score, or I don't know what the difference was, really. But I just thought it was very, very, I was very impressed at how perfectly, to the second, it was synchronized with the show. What the show does is it will introduce a skit, like, here's one. One of the silly ones was these two ladies in, what do you call those little scooters, the little rascal scooter things, and they were playing a game of chicken. They both started at one end of the parking lot and just went head-on at each other. And the play-at-home thing was you bet which one you thought was going to chicken out.
Oh, okay.
So, the announcer comes on, who's funny as hell, by the way. The announcer comes on and, you know, basically explains what the game is and says, you know, start betting now or something. And the second he said that, from a technical standpoint, I'm watching to see how this is going to work because I've seen other attempts at interactive television, which is what this is, that just did not work nearly as well. This one, the second he said that, the screen flipped and changed to the voting screen. Now, I've seen it done in HTML and Java in the past, and without going into detail, there were some vulnerabilities, there were some problems. This one being Flash, I didn't really know how to reverse engineer it or play with it too much, but it came up and it asked for voting. Voting lasts about, I don't know, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. And then he says, the guy comes on and says, voting over, and the screen changes again, and you go back to watching the show to see who wins. It was perfectly synchronized, open and closed, voting on, voting off, immediately when the announcer said it. And I thought that was really a technical feat, because obviously the site was just bombarded, like I said. You couldn't even register, it was so overloaded. Yet, it was still able to keep pinpoint precision accuracy with the timing of the show. So I was very, very impressed like that. So I'm going to check that out next time it comes on and see if they can do it again. Something tells me the show's going to get tired after a while. It's going to get tiresome. But, again, I'm just kind of looking at it from the technical aspect. So another, you know, I had a headache this week. I had a problem with my system this week where, and maybe some people out there can relate this. I had a very obscure problem. When I set this box up, like an idiot that I am, I tried to do it the fast way. I didn't take my time and do. I hate setting boxes all over again. And when I set this up, I decided I was going to plug all the devices in the first install and let XP detect everything and boot itself up and install all the drivers in one or two batches, you know, get it all over with. Well, if you have an external USB hard drive, which I have, it boots, or it tries to boot from that drive. And when you format your hard drive, or you UFDisk your hard drive, the first time when you're installing Windows from the CD, it finds that external USB hard drive, and it immediately determines that that is your C drive. Whether you've got system files on it or any files on it, it automatically tags that to be your C drive. And when you don't notice it until the time you're already installed all of the things and you're booting into it and you try to find your C drive and it's not there. You find out you booted, actually all the install files went to a separate drive, your internal drive, which is labeled D, E, F, whatever the next letter in line is. So I find myself with a system here that boots from the F drive. And there is no way to change it back to the C drive easily without some external software, which I haven't gotten around to doing. So, it runs. You can boot from a different drive. That's not a problem. But there is a bug in XP that when you go to your Explorer, and not Internet Explorer, your local Explorer, you won't get any icons. You will see the My Computer, the Desktop, the My Documents. You'll see all those. And you can navigate through them, they work, but the graphics, the icon of the folder and the icon of the, you know, the CD-ROM and the icon of the network neighborhood, those things are missing. And it just gets annoying over time to see this blankness. So I went out. It's a very obscure. I had to dig through, deep through Microsoft TechNet to find the workaround for this. And it turns out that the only workaround, the only way to fix this, again, without external third-party software, is to... There's a command. You'll have to open up a command line. And there is a command called SUBST, which is a substitute, I assume that stands for. It basically works just like mapping drives. And I'm pretty sure most of our listeners know how to map drives. The command is SUBST A to B. And you're telling it to substitute one drive for another. And in my case, it actually called my drive H, the drive that was inside. And that's what it was booting from. Well, when it looks on H, the software has a bug where it looks on C for the graphics in Explorer. Well, obviously C doesn't exist in my case. So what the substitute command or the subst command does is I type in subst space C colon space H colon. And any time that it looks for something on the C drive, it tells it to look actually on the H drive. So it's basically mapping the C drive to the H drive. So now it knows where to find those graphics. That's the stupidest thing, the stupidest work to have to do, because Microsoft has this stupid hole that they still haven't fixed, and it's been around since XP came out, apparently. So I had to create... That's the command, and who wants to type that in every time? So I made a BAT file, a good old-fashioned DOS batch file, with one command in it, the one I just read to you, and I put it in my startup. So the system starts technically with no icons, but when the startup group when the applications in the startup group start to run, then it substitutes the drive, and by the time everything's booted up, I do have the icons back. But just such an annoying little thing. And if anybody out there has that problem, now you know how to fix it. I guess I could put the BAT file for somebody if they wanted it, but it's pretty straightforward. I've got another Microsoft issue. Even though we had an all-Microsoft episode of RFA, it seemed like last time, I've been using the new Office XP beta. Have you seen or heard anything about that yet?
No, I have not.
I have the new Office XP beta. It's still called XP. I don't know how they're going to distinguish it from the other Office XP, but looks not a lot different, but a little bit different. They did a lot of changes to the interface for Outlook, especially. Some I liked, some I didn't. It's definitely more integrated with the contacts list, MSN Messenger or Microsoft Messenger or whatever the Messenger thing is. They got two versions. They have Windows Messenger and they have MSN Messenger. And I have not been able to figure out the difference between the two of them. They're identical, it seems like, yet they're two different downloads. But anyway, they integrate with that a lot more with the contact list, so you can go be in your contacts list of Outlook and double-click on a contact or contact icon in the contacts list to chat with somebody. So they're kind of trying to integrate all that again. I love Outlook. I really do. I love that program. I know a lot of people don't like hearing me say that, but I do. I haven't used a lot of the other applications on it yet. I did try to open up some Word documents. And when you open up a document, the default view mode has changed. They put in something called, I don't even know what it's called, page view or something. When you open like a 7-page document, it's what I opened, and it tries to put one page to the screen. And when you click your, or when you scroll down with your mouse or you go down arrow, it automatically goes to page 2 on the screen. So if you don't, you know, you basically have to read the screen top to bottom before you can go on to page 2. And that slows down my reading. You know, I have to wait until I finish the sentence on page 1, hesitate, scroll to page 2, which moves my eyes to the top of the screen again. I like the old layout view where I can just continue and I can kind of scroll while I read. I don't hesitate. I don't lose time. So that was one annoyance with it. But I haven't really played with it a whole lot yet. There's also a little bug. If you try to launch something from Outlook, somebody sends you an email with a link in it, and it says HTTP, blah, 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 whatever. When you click on that, it, of course, is integrated. It pops up your browser. I assume your default browser, whatever it is. I have Internet Explorer at work. We are pretty much locked into that. when it popped up, it actually forces, I guess part of the procedure, the function call, is it puts HTTP:// in front of the link. It assumes that the link in the email doesn't have that. So what ends up happening is I get HTTP:// and then I get another HTTP:// which was actually part of the link. Is that, am I making sense with that?
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's duplicating the first. It thinks that there's no protocol defined. It thinks that it's not defining the protocol, so it assumes. But the way it does it kind of piqued my interest. It says HTTP:%1. Then, right after that, it has HTTP:// and whatever the website was you were visiting. So that %1, to me, it indicates that's some type of parameter, and it's passing that site, that parameter, into Internet Explorer. Well, it's not necessary because the HTTP was in the link. If I clicked on, if somebody just sent me in a link that says www.whatever.stankdog.com and I click on that, this passing of the parameter works. It passes the www.blah and it adds the HTTP:// in front of it and everything's honky-dory. But if it has an HTTP already in the email, which most of them do, then you get a duplicate and it just gives you an error. And you have to go cut and paste and delete a few things and... again, it's beta, so hopefully they'll fix that. But it just got me interested that they are passing parameters. So, makes me wonder, what are we going to be able to do? How can we manipulate that? Sending an email to somebody, how can we forcibly send a %1 or have a %1, you know, function call or script or Visual Basic script or whatever to pull information and send it back to us? So how can we use that to... execute arbitrary code on the receiver's end. So, potentially, if that's just one example, who knows what else, what other function calls they could be doing. So, that's potentially a security vulnerability there. I guess we'll have to wait and see the final version before we know, though, huh? Anyway, you know what? You actually were telling me something earlier about Dell that I thought was interesting. Why don't you take that?
Dell, as you might know, or Dell Computer used to be, well, of course, they make computers, and they do a damn good job at it. I think they're one that I would prefer them over any OEM right now. I think Stank, would you agree with me?
Yeah, they are very, I hate to admit it, but yeah, they make good, clean systems that are easily upgradable. So yeah, I give Dell a good thumbs up.
So there used to be Dell Computer, they'd be in the computer, straight up computers. Well, now they move from Dell Computers to just Dell. They did this because... recently, they've become aware of the fact that, you know, people just don't have computers. They have a lot of accessories like cameras, PDAs, not cell phones, but, I mean, scanners, cameras, everything. They have all these other attachments that they're missing out on. So, printers are a big thing they're going to do. So what they've done is they're going to integrate that. Since they're not really about computers anymore, they made themselves just Dell.
They're not going to make computers anymore?
Well, they're making, I mean, they're not Dell computers. They're just Dell. Do make computers, but since they have expanded their product line, they have made it Dell.
I see.
But I thought it was kind of interesting to see that kind of name change, like Prince, and then the artist formerly known as Prince, and Prince again. So, I mean, I really don't know.
So, when it's dude, you're getting a Dell, it doesn't necessarily mean you're getting a Dell computer. You could be getting, like, a Dell...
PDA.
Ooh.
Or a Dell... camera or a Dell printer. I think right now they're just more focusing on the printers, but I think they're doing this now so later on they can start making their own product instead of just taking everyone else's product and shoving it into a box and saying this is a Dell product.
Yeah, but I thought the whole thing with Dell was they were like masters of manufacturing. They didn't want to develop new products and stuff like that. They just wanted to master in low cost manufacturing.
True. Well, maybe they're going to change their mindset. That was the original topic. It was on Tech TV. They did a special on Michael Dell. They're saying that we're not going to worry about innovation. We're going to make everyone else worry about innovation, and we're just going to build it.
Right. So what about? So are they going to change the slogan, dude, you're getting a Dell?
I don't know.
You know?
That guy's in jail anyway.
I know. I was going to say, is that guy still, he got arrested for smoking pot or something like that? Or possession of marijuana?
Pot in New York.
See, well, we need to hook up the Dell guy with that busted-ass chick from the Mac Switch commercials. The pothead chick from that.
That is so played already, man. Everyone has talked about that.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Everyone.
Man, they make a perfect couple.
They do.
Maybe they are maybe they are together.
I doubt that.
Ah, see? I wonder if they both have blogs or something. Are they I wonder.
She said it was in a new press release that she looked at that baby, she was on Benadryl. I've been on Benadryl. Doesn't mess you up that bad.
Yeah, for real. No, she was on more than Benadryl.
She was on Benadryl Plus.
Yeah, she was on, I don't know, she was on Flintstone Vitamins or something. She was on something powerful. You know, I mentioned messaging earlier. MSN Messenger 6.0 just came out recently. And Nick84 from RootSecure.net nailed me today with a vulnerability in MSN Messenger 6.0. And I assume Windows Messenger 6.0, because like I said, I don't know the difference. I think they're the same product, just I guess the MSN one is for MSN users, and maybe it ties into your, I don't know, I guess you have to have a password account for both of them. I really don't know what the difference is. But there's a problem where there's a buffer overflow that causes the Messenger program to crash and die completely if you send a picture or a graphic. Basically, when you send a picture now, it shows a little icon on the screen that says so-and-so wants to send you, Nick84 wants to send you a picture, whatever. You click on it, and it starts downloading. Well, if it's one of those pictures that, if it's a picture that was not complete, meaning that, like, sometimes if you're downloading a picture and your connection drops or the other connection drops or something, you'll get a half of a picture. Or you'll get a picture where some of the colors are missing at the bottom or something like that. It doesn't close. It doesn't have an end of file, proper end of file or end of file marker. And when Messenger tries to send that, it crashes.
Interesting.
It crashes completely. So if you really wanted to be an ass, just find a picture out there that's half completed or half complete a picture, as long as it's not closed properly, and send it to someone, and you can just crash their email over and over again. It's interesting, though, because when he sent it to me, it started downloading. I saw the little, 5%, 10%, the little meter goes across. It doesn't crash right away. It happens after it arrives. I saw it got up to 97%, and then I heard some churning in the CPU, and then it died. So I'm thinking that there's some kind of function call at the very end, whether it's trying to load the picture, display it, pop open your graphics, doing an external call to your graphics program to display it. Something along those lines is what's causing it to die. So it's not handling errors. It's not handling the function calls properly. So it just kills it completely. Since I'm talking about Messenger, I also saw an ad for a new product called IM Marshall, which is from our friends NetIQ, which if some of the longtime listeners might remember, they used to, and I presumably still do, give security webcasts. Is that the proper term?
No, it's NetIQ.
NetIQ, yeah.
Oh, okay, they're making this? Okay.
Yeah, this is a product from NetIQ. They're a security company. And they gave some security webcasts that we've seen and discussed in the past. Well, they have this product called IM Marshall that is basically a sniffer for instant messages. MSN Messenger, technically.
So what, just AOL?
Just MSN Messenger.
Or just MSN, okay.
At least at the time when I saw this, it was an advertisement. I haven't been to the site to see if you know what all it covers, but it was mentioned with MSN Messenger. And it's, they call it a security program, of course, but it's basically, they set this on the server, and any instant messages that go through the server, I guess it basically just sniffs the port, although there can be a range of ports, but it basically intercepts all messages and it can log them. You can block messages, block users, block IP addresses, block whatever. So it's basically, sits in there and monitors on you like a little bitch and tattles you out, and who knows if, they're going to report you, get you in trouble for it, or they're going to use it to blackmail you, hold it against you. I don't know, is it wrong? I mean, if you work for a company, do they have the right to do that? Do you have a right to privacy in the workplace?
It's their equipment. It's a good question.
Well, what about high school? Is that even different? You know, if you're at work, you're getting paid, and I guess you abide by their rules. What about high school? Do they, first of all, they wouldn't even have a rule against that, would they?
About what, monitoring?
Yeah. Do you?
Of course they do. If it's their equipment, they can always do it. If it's their school network, they can watch you. I know my school logs all their stuff. Logs where you go. If they have a filter, and if it's a site that they don't want you to seeing, then it logs that the person went there, and that it's a bad site.
Well, it could be a bad. In their opinion, it's a bad site.
In the filter's opinion, yes.
Yeah, I think we've established that stankdog.com is blocked on a lot of those filters.
I'll have to check that out. Mine. I've been there in a while, so yeah. Hmm.
Well, yeah, that's I don't know. That is, I guess. Yeah, I guess technically you sign a waiver that says, I understand that I'm going to use this for whatever, and they have the right to monitor me, but it's still, you know, kind of scary, is there any law protecting me or limiting me what they can do with it? You know, if I say something to someone as a joke, you know, can they hold that and, I don't know, prosecute me for some joke that I make, or...
There are laws. Well, no, this may not technically apply to you, but there are laws that just talk about online harassment. And if you say something online and they can prove it, now it's kind of hard to prove it because you can make up your own IM chat. I mean, it's kind of hard to prove that they said something, but that can be held as a offense and it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't judge. Part of judging the severity of a crime is judging the intent. And how do you judge intent in something as faceless as an instant message? I mean, yeah, I can put a little winking, smiley emoticon, whatever you call it, on there that indicates that I'm joking, but you don't necessarily always do that. You know, how do they know I wasn't joking when I said whatever? Anyway, that could go into a long discussion, but yeah, I guess bottom line is, you know, and I think most hackers know this, you assume that you're being watched. You always assume that you're being logged and watched, and you do whatever you can do to protect yourself, or whatever you have to do to protect yourself from prying eyes.
Yeah.
Speaking of prying eyes, didn't you tell me there was some news about the RIAA?
We always think about, you know, oh, I'm going to use because I'm going to be really cool because I'm getting the next version of Spider-Man or whatever. You're logging the next movie. You're always worried, oh, wait, this is copyright, I'm stealing, and you're like, and your friend says, no, keep going, man, it's okay, it's like a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you never really had a reason not to download, it's always you think, oh, it might get me. Well, right now, the RIAA is just about 1,000 people under their new, quote-unquote, prohibition of music, of file sharing. Everyone thinks I thought this was kind of odd, this isn't a bigger news story, but now they're busting people.
Mm.
They're going over the big-time guys that are running the Stanford or Harvard or is it Berkeley or wherever campus's optical connection to the Internet, the optical pipe, they're going after normal people these days, busting them for songs.
But, I mean, how big-time and how small-time? Are there any examples of, you know, was somebody with one CD of songs busted, or do we know?
Yeah, it doesn't specify that they're... got about 75 serving subpoenas at a rate, quoting, serving subpoenas at a rate of 75 U.S. a day on U.S. citizens for the crime of sharing music they love.
Wow.
Instead of, the brief history of file sharing, he started with Napster and everyone's kind of underground, but people are still getting that music out, and then Lars Ulrich goes, Napster is bad, and it boom. Then instead of stopping it, it booms. Everyone's got Napster on the computer. People are running software to block Napster. Originally, it wasn't a problem until that day, and now it's really worried. Now it's getting into a shuffle about digital. This is Napster really kind of got people thinking. Maybe we do need digital right to DRM.
Yeah.
And then they start rolling around, and then finally, you've seen these threats for 2 years. We're going to kick your ass. We're going to sue you. Well, now it's going to happen.
Well, they're going to try.
They're going to give a pretty good effort, and they might get some people along the way.
Yeah.
Now, let me remind everyone, some excellent spyware software to run for Kazaa Lite is Kazaa Lite K++. It's a new version of stuff. Very good stuff. I recommend using it. It does a lot of cool things, so check that out if you're ever worried.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought the whole thing was, you know, wasn't it mentioned that 99% of all of the shared songs and movies and Juarez comes from like 1% of the users, the top 1%. I thought their goal was to go after that top 1%. Now they're coming after everybody, huh?
That good stuff might come from one person, the top 1%, but then the other whatever percent is getting it.
Right.
And then they're going to share it. That's the whole thing about P2P. Everyone's going to have a copy of it, so you can get it from anywhere.
Right. Well, that's what's cool about P2P.
Yeah. That's just a massive network, and that's the problem they're going to run into, that they're going to try to go up to these people, and then, you know, you're not going to stop it. It's like a virus. It's like a snowball.
Well, they're going to screw up, and they're going to bust somebody who has legitimate right to something.
Yeah.
What a lot of people, you know what we should do? We should take episodes of Binary Revolution, rename it to Britney Spears, Make My Boobies Big, whatever, some tracks of her songs or whatever, and put them out there. Share them, and the first time they try to come after someone and threaten, make these threats, and it turns out that it's not what they thought, and I wonder how closely and how carefully they check. And even then,
they might be just doing search. They might be saying, "Okay, let's search for whatever the Wallflowers now or something." They
right.
go out to those computers and they find, "Oh wait, we got this IP address. Got it. They got this IP address. We got to go serve subpoenas now or something." I mean, it could be a dartboard for all I care. It could be anything. It could be a Perl script.
Hmm.
It's choosing random lists of hundred millions of IP addresses that they've harvested.
Right.
It might have content that's illegal. That's the problem. I mean, it's gonna hurt so many people that don't really understand. I mean, of course, we understand that, you know, it is illegal to download this stuff, but people just think, oh, I'm making my music now. It's like a new, it's like TV. It's like taken for granted.
Yeah, you know, and it's the RIAA that's doing it. I think the majority of bands, with a few notable exceptions, the majority of bands and musicians out there, even though the RIAA puts them up and makes them act like they're again, really, RIAA, we all know, is the one making the money. You know, the artist gets passed down on a very small percentage. If you were to go to an artist and prove to them on paper, sign a contract that says, I can distribute your music cheaper and make you more money digitally, I bet you almost all of them, without question, would do it. But there is no alternative. There is no option. The RIAA is a monopoly. There's nothing that you can do about it, so they forcibly have to go with them. If you were to come up with a different model to distribute this stuff, it wouldn't be illegal. It wouldn't need to be illegal. You think some of the bands would take note and see what happens to, you know, the Metallicas of the world. I mean, Metallica, their attitude and their crying and whining and bitching and moaning and this, Lars is like the most unpopular person. There was it MTV Awards or something they were at recently, where they were booed. They were booed by the crowd. I mean, they are hurting their careers. They are hurting their record sales because they're whining about some of this stuff so much. When in actuality, their record sales were probably up. People were jumping on and getting music and bootlegs and becoming, I think, a promotional item.
I think it's more of a promotional thing for everyone. Because
absolutely.
You get to find the cool stuff about the band, you get to find the old stuff that might really cost a lot of money, and they're not going to make any money off of it anyways. Like that first few Metallica CDs that are gathering dust at some Borders or Barnes & Noble or whatever store you might go to, and you're going to go buy it. Well, they're not going to see shit for that because they're not selling a lot of it anymore.
Mm.
They might sell like one, and the store's already bought it. The store bought that copy.
Right.
They're going to keep it there, so they've already made their coin on it.
Yeah, is the store going to get all of 100% of their money back when they have to, cross-market and throw it in the dumpster? You know, they cut through the CD or cut through
the... They throw it in the dumpster or, you know, send it back, and we're going to go steal it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Dumpster.
Anyway, that, again, could be a whole nother rant and show, but we'll move on. Actually, we are running close here, but you did have something else I wanted to bring up. You mentioned that Red Hat was making a big change.
Yeah, Red Hat, everyone's favorite distribution. No, don't throw the cabbage at me. I mean, don't throw the rotten crap at me. I mean, I like Red Hat a lot. It's got a lot of cool features. I mean, it's got the RPM stuff. It's got, I mean, it's just a good, I thought it was a good distribution. It runs well. Hey, pick your distro, don't pick your nose. Don't pick your friend's nose, okay? Fine. So, with that said, Red Hat is going to stop releasing a shrink-wrap version of their software. They will no longer put that nice box of Red Hat 9 next to your books, your bookstore showing how to use Red Hat 9, or on the store CompUSA or at Office Depot, because they figure that, see, I think Red Hat runs in a six-month release cycle, and they'll release a version of Red Hat.
That's a major release, 6 months between major releases,
major
right?
Major releases, yeah. Of the version, like a 9, a 7.2 or 7.3 or 8 or 9 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is they'll put it out there, but the selling channel is so slow that when they get one out there, the next one's already out. So it's hurting them to put these obsolete versions out there. It's like the computers back in the 90s. You could put something out, but within a week, it would already be obsolete.
Right, that's a time to market. That's the delay.
That's the market thing. That's the problem. So what they're doing is they're going to say, no more of this box stuff. You're going to go download it.
Well, most hardcore Linux users have been downloading it anyway.
It's easier that way. You can burn your own CDs of it. It's free.
What is that? I wonder if that's also going to include the server version or the professional or whatever they call it. Didn't they have a more expensive version that came with support?
Well, more expensive versions. They get to buy those. So maybe they'll have a purchase, but it's only a purchase. You get to buy it online or something.
Hmm.
To buy the ISOs. Or they get to buy CDs, but you have to buy them from their website. They're not going to make a boxed version of it anymore.
Yeah, I was in Best Buy, your favorite store, earlier this week, and I went around just for the heck of it to see what the Linux section had in it. And it had Red Hat, I think it was Red Hat 9, actually. And SUSE 8.2.
That sounds right.
And that was it. That was the Linux session.
Yeah, because, that's the thing. You got to think about it from their standpoint. Those are the easiest to use versions.
Well, SUSE in the past wasn't, but 8.2, I know Dual raves about it, and a lot of people like it, so I'm glad to see them.
They're moving to the fact you got to get some people on board, and I believe as a mini game to all this, that Bill Gates has declared Linux the number two threat to Microsoft.
What's the number one threat to Microsoft?
Maybe they're saying number two to Microsoft.
Oh, you mean number two? Yeah, the biggest competitor, yeah.
Yeah, so their Linux is moving up. I don't expect Linux now. Hopefully they can, but I don't know if they're ever going to surpass Windows. It'd probably take something to the effect of Windows not working, like a distribution of Windows, or it not working, or maybe even. I mean, it has to be massive, and it has to be so major that it would force someone to buy a new computer with something else on it.
I don't think we're naive enough to believe they're going to topple the mighty Microsoft.
Never know. Hey, if Bill Gates assassinated, well, that doesn't make a difference.
Well, it was Steve Ballmer who said that they weren't. That Linux was not a threat. That Linux was nothing.
Yeah.
He's the one that downplayed it a few years.
Developers.
Yeah.
So you see where he's coming from.
Well, guess what? We're the developers.
Yeah.
The open source community, the hackers of the world. Oh, well, anyway. This will never happen, but popped into my head right now. Could you imagine seeing Windows OS X, Windows Window Manager,
mm-hmm.
Windows look and feel sitting on top of the Unix the same way that Apple did? Could you picture that ever happening? Is that a possibility?
I like Windows. Well, the only reason people pick up Windows anymore is for compatibility. Everyone writes in Windows. It's very rare. See, now it's moved to the fact that everyone's writing for OS X. But almost any piece of software you want is written on Windows. Now, for the more obscure stuff that's cooler sometimes than Unix, which then be ported to Mac. So, I just like Windows because there's programs in there you can't get anywhere else. It's the only reason I would keep a Windows computer on or copy a virtual PC.
Right.
And it's kind of pointless to put. It's kind of pointless to make something look like Windows when you're not going to get the same functionality out of it. It's going to be confusing, and I don't need any confusion.
Yeah, well, none of us need any confusion. I think that's a good closing statement. I think that's a good way to end the show. I don't want confusion. I want peace and love and world joy and happiness. And
I want Dual not to really talk to Pip anymore. He is really hurting himself there.
Yeah, oh man. Duel is so mad at me. Oh boy, for those of you who didn't listen, you gotta check out RFA 72. Duel made the mistake of putting me in charge for an episode. So I had a little fun with him, and boy, I know Payback's gonna be a bitch on that one, so I'm sure he's gonna dig up some old outtakes or some embarrassing comments I've made and have a special, you know what, I give him permission, he can make episode 100 or, you know, I have a special episode 75, some milestone, he can make it the Stank Dog Roast or something like they have on TV.
Oh, that'd be so funny, we'd bring everyone in, we'd bring parents, we'd bring,
oh man,
bring ex-girlfriends, and they would just rip you to shreds for 5 minutes.
Yeah, man, they could rip me to shreds for the whole episode of the show, probably. I'm sure you've got. I'm sure he's got plenty of outtakes and material. He's gonna.
He's loaded.
Yeah, he can nail me. I'd be a good sport. That was. I got him pretty good. So, you know, I think we'll. I'll play along. I'm waiting to see how he gets me back. It's gonna be fun.
So you know, I'm gonna be out of town next week, don't you?
You're gonna be out of town next week?
I heard about.
You know,
I told you guys this.
It's funny because I'm gonna be out of town next week.
That's kind
of
scary. That's uncanny. Well, I don't know who's gonna do the show. It's gonna be kind of hard.
Yeah, we might have to miss a show or something like that.
Try not to do that, guys. You know, we'll cancel our plans. You know, we'll figure something out. But you know, we're gonna get your Binary Revolution Radio.
Well, one thing's for sure, we're not gonna put Duel in charge because he'll definitely get me back for that one.
He'll make both. He'll make RFA and this all. Make it insane. He'll just do one show, and it'll be the same thing, like Stink Sucks or something.
he'll loop it over and over for 1 hour continuously. Mm. Yeah, that's funny. We're both out of town. I hope we don't accidentally go to the same place. But speaking of being out of town, I mentioned in the forums that I am going to be taking a bit of a leave of absence. Not going to be disappearing. I'll still be checking in the forums. I'll just be lurking more. I just don't have time to post as much as I used to, and
this is a call for two things. One, to be your post ranking.
Yeah.
Two, for Bland to take over.
Yeah, Bland is gonna
scene, you know, Bland's administrator. I don't know why the hell you gave it to him.
Yeah, Bland's gonna be in charge while
I'm
gone.
He's pinned up a lot of crazy stuff.
Well, it's Bland, that's what he does. Crazy stuff. It's not surprising from him. So I'm going to be away for a while. Everybody has my email address and know how to get in touch with me. I probably won't see private messages on the forums. So if it's something important, get in touch with a DDP member and they will get in touch with me. Or, you know, if you know how to get in touch with me directly, by all means do so. I got too many projects to work on. And hopefully if things slow down, I'll be back in more often. I haven't disappeared. You go talking shit about me. I'm still checking it every once in a while, so I'll find out about it.
Maybe I want to Nick's Pearl script ready to go.
Exactly.
Here's the database for Stink and Suck.
Don't make me crash your MSN Messenger, damn it. And we have a request. I have a request. This is now episode 3. 3.5, 4 if you count the pilot, but we don't. This is episode 3 of Binary Revolution Radio. And we have the archives up, kind of been winging it lately, and it is about time that we started putting up some show notes, like we do with RFA. So I'm going to put out a call for volunteers if somebody wants to write up some show notes for us and be the official show notes taker person. Is that a good title?
You get a letter. I think we should offer them this. You know, we really can't give you money. We can't give you sex. I'm not going to give you sex.
Sorry. Oh, come on, you. Give them. Come on now.
Oh, nothing. No, that's Duel's department. No. Well, we're going to give them. I think we should give them an email address, show notes.
Yeah, you know.
Internet.com. So, you know, when you mistype something, you're going to get your email box filled like spam.
You know what? That's what I'm going to do. I tell you what. I will create an address called notes@benrev.com. And it's open call. What we'll do is anybody listening, give us show notes for this episode. And we will basically pick the best one, and next episode we will name the official show note taker person. And that person will email the show notes to that address every week. And we will give you an @benrev.com email address of your own. And we'll put all the show notes up on the site, on the archives. We'll put your name up on the archives as the official archivist. We'll give you a cool title. We'll hook you up and make sure we give you shouts. Send it to notes@benrev.com, N-O-T-E-S. go ahead and give us a sample. Just go ahead and write up notes for this show about a paragraph.
Like American Idol for show notes.
Yeah, American Idol. No, I don't think it's quite a American Idol, but...
I'm going to have brackets made up. It's going to be good.
Ooh. We're going to have people voted off each week and stuff, too? Or
question for... So when during the show, when this is live, or pseudo-live,
yeah.
Watch and you'll be have a flash... You'll be picking your people as the show goes on.
Ooh.
Okay, cool.
Just notes with mention the host and the names of the guests who are on there. Any links
don't
or something?
Anything. Just give them the. Have to make show notes.
Just have to make show notes.
You have to make sure. Hey, that's what we're gonna rank them on.
But we gotta get. But I want to make sure they know that we need the links that we lose. Basically, like RFA. If we use a link in the show, you know, write that up. If they're going to, you know, mention the topics that we touch on, stuff like that. Just not a book. You know, a little paragraph. Yeah. Whoever can come up with the most creative, most interesting, that's what we'll go with. I won't give them any more than that. I already told them. That's already pretty generic, right?
That's good.
So, I guess, you got any shouts to give out?
None at this point in time.
No? Well, I'm
going to give a shout maybe to that telco man who left the box completely open. That's not even bad. It's bad because of two things. You know, one, don't get in there, kids fall in there, you know. But you give yourself to the terrorist threat. I should have called tips.
Man.
I mean, come on.
You see, you would have narked yourself out by calling tips, though. They would have had your number.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shout out to a friend of mine, Saitu. He's a boy. I talked to him, and he's working on his degree, and he's doing his senior project. And, I mean, he was telling me about it, and it just blew me away. I was just blank stare. I mean... This guy's doing such incredible stuff that it's just amazing. So I'm going to give shout-outs to him. He's busting his ass, and I know he's going to be real happy when he gets done. So I'll give a shout-out to him. A shout-out to Sub-Zero. Wrote us some graphics. He posted the forums. We're going to make some banners out of those so we can start spreading the word for Binary Revolution. They all looked great. And speaking of that, we might be updating the website yet again. BinRev does have a nice new layout. I cleaned it up as best I could, but... I have very limited skills artistically, so working with someone, we'll make a big announcement, a surprise announcement when we do this, but we're going to be updating the website a little bit soon, or a lot soon, so look for that. And email us, I mentioned letters@binrev.com. Oh, distributed.net team. Anyone listening, DDP has a distributed.net team, and I harp on this on the forums all the time, and I beg people, come join the distributed.net team. Go to stankdog.com. There's a link directly to it. If you don't know what it is, there's a forum on the Stank Dog forums that says exactly how to set it up. Come on, people. Let's start churning out some numbers here. Let's start cracking this encryption, get the team going. And I guess that's about it. Possibly, little hint, maybe next week will be a special episode.
Perhaps.
Could be a special episode. Next week, when is that going to be, Mute?
Same hack time.
Same hack channel. See you then. But in the meantime, we are going to leave you with this track from the bland Inquisitor himself. So enjoy.
I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah, sure.
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
What?
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
I was the warm little center of the light in this world crowded around.
About Fight Club. Third rule of Fight Club. Someone yells stop. Goes limp. Taps out. Fight is over. Fourth rule. The two guys still fight. Fifth rule. Fight on time. Sixth rule. No shirts. No shoes. Seventh rule. Fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule.
Before you get sick.
All been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off. Advertising has
honesty, make it go a big rubbery one.
I guess I love you. Tragedy struck.
I see you have lost your touch.